praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, provided by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Witness Lee. Witness Lee was captured by the Lord Jesus as a young man of 19 in his native China. He consecrated his life to preach the gospel, and later labored side by side with Watchman Nee for parts of 3 decades, before eventually bringing this ministry to the West in 1962. He spent the next 35 years speaking to Christians in North America and all over the world before going to be with the Lord in 1997. The life study of the Bible is his most significant contribution to the heritage of biblical exposition, and we're delighted to be able to bring you short portions of his spoken ministry today. If you have questions or comments, or would like to find other Christians in your area enjoying this same ministry, just email us, radio@lsm.org. Again, that's radio@lsm.org. Here's today's program. The Gospel of John begins in a marvelous way, with God himself being incarnated as the man, Jesus Christ. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. In Ephesians, Paul also refers to grace and truth, only with the order reversed, exhorting us to learn Christ as the truth is in Jesus, and then bringing us to the reality of the details of this life we're learning through grace. Bob Danker has joined us for a kind of a summary message today on this sequence we've been enjoying regarding learning Christ, a main point in chapter 4. Welcome back, Bob.
It's good to be back, Chris. This matter of learning Christ as the truth is in Jesus, and then living by the enjoyment of grace in all the details of our daily living, is a very sweet and practical matter, which we will see in this broadcast.
Bob, we read there a moment ago, John 1:14, a marvelous verse that I think all believers are familiar with, or at least have heard and can identify with. When Christ came, he came full of grace and reality, full of grace and truth. We've seen already this last few messages that these two terms, truth and reality, are somewhat interchangeable in this marvelous Greek word that they are conveying. John also mentions them again in verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and reality, or grace and truth, came through Jesus Christ. One of the things I've always liked about the Gospel of John, Brother Bob, is how these spiritual things are very much personified in his gospel, aren't they?
That's right, especially in these verses that you mentioned, Chris. It says the law was given. So the law is something that can be given
right
by Moses
right
to the people.
Mm-hmm.
So the law is not a person. But then it says grace and truth came. It's not grace and truth were given, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, who is the person of the triune God incarnated in humanity. When this person came, grace came. And truth came, or reality came.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot separate grace and truth from the person of Christ. You can separate the law from God, because the law was given by Moses, but you cannot separate grace and truth from Christ. When you receive Christ, you receive grace. When you enjoy Christ, when you taste Christ, you taste the sweetness of grace, because Christ is such a sweet person. And then when Christ is revealed to you, then you touch reality. When you see him as he is, you realize how rich he is, all the aspects of his unsearchably rich person, then you touch reality.
Wow.
This is a marvelous thing. This is very subjective to us, because this Christ is very subjective in our experience.
Well, as we've been laboring over this portion these last few days, we're taking a section of Scripture, a passage of scripture that's not easy. The language is a bit cumbersome. It's not something that, you know, would typically be uttered in our everyday speech. But yet, rather than just trying to understand it in a doctrinal way, in a Bible study sort of way, we really are having a life study. And we're seeing each day that the application of this rich portion is very subjective, as you said, very experiential, and in the context of learning Christ. And it's learning by being conformed into the image of the firstborn Son of God in an organic life way. Marvelous portion, isn't it?
Absolutely marvelous. We are not learning a way of life or a way of living. We're learning a person. That means we're experiencing this person. We're being conformed to him as the pattern.
Well, the learning is totally contingent on these two marvelous things that we've already mentioned now, truth and grace, or reality and grace. And we pointed out early on that the order changes from John to Ephesians. In John, it's grace and truth. In Ephesians, first truth and then grace. And I think as the message unfolds today, that change in sequence, in order, will become meaningful to all of us. So in Ephesians 4:21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. And then in verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up according to the need, that it may give grace to those who hear. Let's join Witness Lee.
This chapter, as a kind of exhortation, is composed with two basic elements. And the elements are truth and grace. Now, let's first look at the grace and truth in John. John tells us clearly the law was given in ancient time through Moses. The law was given. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. This, strictly speaking, indicates that before the coming of Christ, the grace and the truth were not there in Old Testament time. The real grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. When Jesus came, the grace came. When Jesus came, the truth came. What is grace? Grace is just the enjoyment of Christ in whatever he is to us. He is life to us, that is grace. He is power to us, that is grace. Whatever he is to us in life, subjectively, that is our enjoyment, as the enjoyment, it is so sweet, it is so tasteful, so it is what? It is grace. Nearly in every epistle written by the apostles, they all open in this way, grace be to you. Then nearly they all end with what? Grace be with you. Firstly, they all say, grace to you. And then, conclusively, they say, grace be with you. We need the enjoyment of Christ as our life, as our power, and as everything to us. We need this grace. Grace is just our triune God becoming what? Our enjoyment. We just enjoy him. He came to be gained by us, to be experienced by us, to be enjoyed by us. When we enjoy him, he is our grace. This is grace.
Well, Bob, we're really zeroing in on grace here as we begin following John's order. I like how he presented grace, everything that Christ is to us to be experienced and enjoyed is grace.
Yes, this is a marvelous definition of grace.
Yeah.
It is, as you said, Chris, all that Christ is in his person. Christ is life. Christ is power. Christ is resurrection. Christ is love, light, holiness, righteousness, patience, truth,
everything.
He's everything. He's the reality of every positive thing to us. And grace is the enjoyment of such a Christ. So The substance of grace is Christ and all that he is. But grace is the sweet taste of this person. When we taste him in our spirit, when we contact him, and we experience him as life, as power in our weakness, as light in our darkness, this experience brings to us a taste, a sweet taste, which is grace. So when we enjoy this all-inclusive, marvelous person, Jesus Christ, we enjoy grace. And this Christ, as we know, is the embodiment of the complete triune God. So whatever God is to us in Christ, enjoyed by us, is the very grace. And I love this definition, and it is very sweet. You know, when you say this word grace, you cannot help but have a sweet feeling.
Yeah.
It is a very sweet word, because it really points us to the taste and enjoyment of this sweet person.
I feel like we just need to hear this and speak this again and again and again, because in, you know, in the religious realm, the word has been, I would say it has somewhat been reduced in the impact that it has. You know, there's, of course, a kind of a common meaning that we've referred to on a number of occasions of being unmerited favor. And then, of course, we say, quote, grace at the supper table. And I think to many believers, it never gets past that. But as you just said now, it should have this connotation of something so sweet, so enjoyable, God himself. And as you said, whatever it is of Christ we're experiencing, maybe it's light. We've come and on our knees, the Lord has really shined and revealed something in our being that needs to be dealt with. That's grace. And then the coming forgiveness after we confess and repent, that is grace. It's all grace, isn't it?
It's all grace, Chris, and it's all very sweet to our taste. I really love this because we can taste Christ in so many aspects in our experience.
Bob, we have this marvelous phrase that we've been enjoying this week about learning Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, and that's what we'll look at in this section just ahead.
What is truth? Truth is just God revealed. God enjoyed is grace. God revealed is truth. Don't think truth is doctrine. Don't think truth is sincerity. It's terrible if you say grace and doctrine came through Jesus Christ. Or you say grace and sincerity came through Jesus Christ. We know in principle these two things, grace and truth, which came to Jesus Christ, must be God himself. God comes for our enjoyment. This is grace. God comes to reveal himself to us. This is truth. When God is enjoyed by us, he is the grace. When God is revealed to us, this is truth. Truth. It's just God revealed to us and realized by us and seen by us. And this is truth. Then you may check with me. Brother Lee, why grace first? You know, when I was 30 years younger, I had a big problem here. I said, God revealed should come first. Then God enjoyed. Why grace first, then truth? I was puzzled by this point for years. One day, I got to realize, surely, surely, Jesus came to us not firstly as truth, but always Jesus came to us firstly as what? As grace. Check with yourself. I didn't know Christ as truth for a long time after I got saved. But I tell you, since the day I got saved, even at that moment, I experienced Christ as grace. Many of you had been enjoying Christ as grace for years and years. You never got the truth. We enjoyed him, but we never got to realize what he is and who he is. All these, enjoyment came first, then the realization. Always, grease came first, then the truth.
Well, Brother Bob, of course, the Gospel of John is the Gospel of life, and it's experiential, and the sequence here absolutely matches our experience, doesn't it? We experienced him as grace, really, before we entered into much truth, much realization of the one we were enjoying. This matches our experience.
It really does, Chris. I was thinking back to the day that I was saved.
Yeah, me too.
On that day, I'd had very little truth or very little realization of what God or Christ is. Although we did have a little bit, we realized he died for us.
Uh-huh.
He died to be our Redeemer. And based on that little knowledge, I would say, and the knowledge that we were sinful, we believed into him. And then it just opened a wide door of enjoyment for us. I mean, I remember the first day I believed, I was filled with enjoyment, although I didn't know this was grace. It was grace. What I enjoyed was grace, but I didn't have much light or revelation of the person of Christ at that time. So grace came first. But then as we go on, we realize that we need something more. We need to have Christ revealed to us. We need to know the person of Christ and what he is to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me this can help us enjoy him more. But at any rate, in the beginning, grace was first. In our experience, we tasted him. Then we realized what it is we were tasting.
Any mother, I think, who was teaching her children and her daughters in today's culture, could easily be her sons as well, how to cook, first lets them taste what she's about to teach them how to prepare. And that's the best lesson, isn't it, in terms of how to learn to make this delectable treat that is being, you know, offered up to the family.
That's right, Chris. Well, one taste of Christ, it just does so much in us, and it brings us so much. Even we don't understand what we are enjoying, what we're receiving, still we receive it and we enjoy it. It becomes our experience, and it's tremendous.
And that's what draws us really on,
yes,
and into the truth as it is in Jesus.
That's right. The taste is what attracts us. It really does.
Bob, let's go back to Witness Lee for our final portion today. And in this final segment, Bob, we want to come back to verse 29 that we read a moment ago about, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up according to the need, that it may give grace to those that hear, those who hear. His connection here of grace to the words proceeding out of our mouth is really a marvelous development of what it means to grow up into him in all things. And we touched this the other day. I think this summary speaking that's just ahead will be a big help to us. Here's Witness Lee again.
In Ephesians, you don't have grace first. You have truth first. Why? Because truth is not the supply. Truth is the principle. Truth is the standard. Truth is the pattern. We, the members of the body of Christ, under our head, are learning Christ. We are learning Christ as the truth is indeed. So, firstly, truth is here to set up a pattern, a standard, a principle into which we have been placed. We all have been placed into such a principle, into such a standard, into such a pattern. But we need the grace to carry out such a standard. So grace follows. And I like Paul's way. He didn't mention grace in great things, in big things. He mentions grace in small things, in your daily talk, in the way you talk to brothers, in the way you talk to sisters. If we would have grace in our conversation, this indicates we would have grace in everything. Our conversation is the smallest thing in our daily life. And this indicates that Paul wants us to have grace in everything. In everything, we need the grace to carry out that kind of standard life according to truth, as is in Jesus. We need such grace. We need such grace to carry out the standard. We need such grace to be molded into the image of Christ. We need grace. Grace is our rich supply, and grace is our enjoyment. As long as we have this supply and we have this enjoyment, we are okay to carry out this tender life of truth. This is why Paul picked up these two elements as the basic thing for him to compose his exhortation.
Well, Bob, I can really identify with what he says here. If we have the Lord coming to us as grace, operating in even our speaking one to another, we are really learning Christ, aren't we? We are really being pressed into the mold that has been set before us.
That's right. Actually, our speaking is such a common thing to us.
Yeah.
We hardly even think that it's that significant. It's such a small and yet a great matter in our life. Very much is determined by our words. Our words always have a result, and they always carry some element with them. But Paul here in verse 29 says that we should not allow any corrupt words to come out of our mouth, but we should speak in such a way that it gives grace to the hearers. That means in our speech, we need grace. We need the enjoyment of Christ so that we convey this enjoyment to those who hear us. And this is one small item in our living.
Mm-hmm.
Then this implies that in everything in our living, we need grace. Paul mentions here being angry, but not letting the sun go down on your anger.
Right.
That's a feeling.
Yeah.
That's inner emotion, right?
Yeah.
We need grace. How can you shut your anger off? You need grace.
And malice.
Similar things. No malice among you. This is not easy to have no malice. But with the sweet taste and enjoyment of Christ, we are able to live a life of love, of kindness, of forbearance, and so forth. All the virtues that are presented of the life,
mm-hmm.
the proper life that's lived according to the standard of Christ, the life that Jesus lived when he was on the earth. He's our standard, and the life that he lived is the standard. That's truth. This life of Jesus is a life in which God is manifested and revealed. It's a life full of God as reality. But how can we live such a life? Can we just make up our mind that we're going to imitate him? Well, if we do, we'll find out that we just can't do that.
When we do, we've all tried it.
Yeah, we've all tried, and we realize I cannot live such a life of reality. To live such a life, we need grace. We need the supply of grace.
So as we pointed out in the beginning of the program today, the order in John, first grace, which really draws us in, and then truth, reality. Now here, the reality or the truth somewhat becomes the standard, but grace is there now to be the supply to enable us to meet this standard. Tremendous.
Absolutely marvelous. In the Old Testament, the law was the standard, but there was no grace.
Yeah.
In the New Testament,
Christ is
the standard is higher than the law.
Yeah.
Christ is the standard, the very person of God incarnated. The life that he lived on this earth is our standard, our pattern.
But he's also the supply.
But he's the supply. He's the grace.
Wow. I enjoy these very much, Bob, and appreciate it whenever you come by, and hope to do so again very soon.
Oh, I appreciate being with you, and I look forward to the next time.
Well, we hope you're enjoying these programs as we are enjoying bringing them to you to dive into these passages and get into these life study messages for us is a real benefit. And we hope that it is for you to hear them. Even more so, we hope that you're taking advantage of the printed life study messages so that you yourself can dive into these portions, get out your Bible, maybe the recovery version if you have that, another great resource and help to you unlock the treasure in this book. And if you'd like to find out about this material, we'd love to hear from you. It's toll-free, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. Of course, you can write to us. Our mailing address, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814, or send email to us, radio@lsm.org. We'll be back tomorrow as we conclude this week's life study from Ephesians, and we hope you'll join us then. For Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, produced by Living Stream Ministry. We have these recorded studies on every book of the Bible available to you online free of charge. Just visit our website, lsmradio.com. You can download the MP3 files, stream them live, or add them to your podcast subscriptions, all at no charge. Once more, the website, lsmradio.com. To contact us, send email to radio@lsm.org or call us at 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Thanks for listening today.